أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at Surah Al-Kahf, which is Surah number 18, a late Makki Surah, 110 ayat, part of Hamidat place, and we divided it into 8 sections. In the last talk, we looked at the first 2 sections. First section spoke about the qualities of the Qur'an, that it had no crookedness. It kept straightness. It was a warning to those who didn't follow it. It was good news to those who believed and manifested their belief into righteousness. And it was also there as a warning to those who associated with him. The second section was about Ashabul Kahf, from which the name of the surah comes, the companions of the cave. And we looked at that story. Today we'll begin with the third section, which is about a parable. And it's the parable of the two gardens. However, just before it, in ayah 29 to 31, Allah contrasts the people of the fire in the hereafter to the people of the garden in the hereafter. In other words, Ashabul Jahannam and Ashabul Jannah. And now in ayah 32, he sets the same sort of contrast, but the contrast is now a contrast in the world. And this is how he starts off. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ. Give them the example, the parable of two men. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. To one of these people, we gave two gardens. Now look how it's explained. مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. Both these gardens were vineyards. They had grapes in them. And then to protect these grapes, we surrounded them with palm trees. And then, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. And then between them, we also had other crops. He continues to say, كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُقُلُهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. All parts of these two gardens were totally productive. And then, وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَعَرًا. And right through them, a river flowed. So it was the perfect situation, the perfect investment, the perfect two gardens, 100% productivity, an irrigation system, a protection by the palm trees. And basically, he was living the dream. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. And he had lots of fruit, and thamar is also wealth. So we've got a profile of this one person. Now Allah introduces his companion. He says, فَقَالَ لِسَاحِبِهِ. So he said to his companion or to his neighbor, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. And in the midst of the conversation, he says, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَعْلًا وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. So in his conversation, he slips into the fact that, you know what? I have more wealth than you have. I have more authority or respect because of nafara, because of the people I employ or the amount of people I employ or because of the manpower I have. So basically, it makes the other person feel very small. And then, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ. And he enters his garden. وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. While he was unjust to himself. Remember, he was unjust to his neighbor. But Allah says he was unjust to himself. And قَالَ, he says, مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. He says, I don't think this will ever perish. This will ever die. This will ever end. And then the next ayah says the follow-up. He is so engrossed in his dunya that he now says in the next ayah that I don't even think that qiyamah will come. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. And even if it does, وَلَا إِن رُدِّتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي, if I'm returned to my Rabb, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا, I will find a returning place better than this. So he's saying, look, I'm blessed here, I'm bound to be blessed over there with the same thing or better. He's saying, this is proof that Allah loves me. If he loves me here and has given me so much, obviously he's going to give me better over in the Akhirah as well. He's a believer, he believes. Now let's look how his companion talks in conversation. He sees the arrogance of this man and he says to him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Are you covering the truth about he who created you from dust, then from a small seed, and then he made you a perfect human being? لكنه الله ربي. But as for me, he Allah is my Rabb. ولا أشرك بربي أحدا. And I will never, and I do not associate anyone with my Rabb. So what shirk is this talking about? The wealthy person believed in God. See, he did shirk and tawakkul. If we look at the seven stages of tawheed, one of them is tawakkul. He trusted in his worldly acquisitions. Remember in ayah 32, Allah says, we made his two grape gardens of grape vines. We surrounded them with palm trees. We gave him crops in the midst of it. We made the irrigation system, the river, flow in the midst. It's an amazing parable. So how do we follow it? Ayah 39, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلَتْ جَنَّتَكَ. And why did you not say when you entered your garden, قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Why didn't you say? It's as Allah would have pleased if he had wanted. There is no power save Allah. The surah starts with Alhamdulillah. We are taught these phrases from childhood. So we never ever forget the first cause. We sort of forget the use of mashallah at every occasion. We only use it for praising or absolutely phenomenal, awesome occasions. But it actually means what Allah pleases, whatever He pleases. And it's to be used at all occasions. And the companion continues and he says, إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. If you consider me to be below you, to be beneath you, because of your wealth and sons, then know that فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ. My Rabb can give me what is better than your garden. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. He could send a timely destruction from the heavens. فَتُصْبِحَ سَعِيدًا زَلَقًا. And it could become a dried up, flat, slippery land. Or the waters would sink down into the ground. This is Ayah 41. And those words, the ah from the soul of the one who was demeaned, is heard. Look what happens, Ayah 42. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَكَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And Allah says, his wealth was destroyed, his fruit was destroyed. It doesn't say the gardens. He worried about his wealth, that's what he showed off about. That was destroyed, Allah says. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ. And he began to wring his hands. Kaf is the palm of your hand. For what he had spent on it all the time, his whole life he had spent on this. And it was turned over on top of its trellises. And he said, oh, if only I hadn't done shirk with my Rabb. Now this story, this parable has a happy ending. He may have become bankrupt, he may have lost his wealth, but he turned back to Allah. He understood the concept of tawakkul, the concept of submission to his Rabb. Because Allah is saying in Ayah 44, هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ. In this sort of case, help, protection is only from Allah. Al-Haq, the true one. And finally, the message of this parable. And I've spent lots of time on it because I think it's really, really important. Is Ayah 46, where Allah says, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Wealth or money and banoon. Banoon is children or sons or employees or manpower or Facebook friends or Twitter followers. He says these are zinatul hayat dunya. They're an adornment, they're decoration of the life of the world. But as far as your Rabb is concerned, in the Rabbika, al-baqiyatu salihatu khair. Those lasting, remaining good deeds, the legacy of goodness that you leave behind is better. Thawaban is a compensation. Wa khayrun amala. And also, it is this that you will put your hopes in, your expectations in. Baqiyat as-salihat. And not in mal wal banun. And when will all this become apparent? Ayah 49. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَدِّرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. And the book shall be placed, then you will see those who are guilty fearing from what is in it, and they'll say, oh my goodness, what is this book? It doesn't omit the smallest of things or the biggest of things. It accounts for every single one. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا, and they will find everything present therein. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, and your Rabb does not deal unjustly with anyone. So to encapsulate this section, section 3. Number 1, the life of the world is dependent on divine mercy. Number 2, wealth and children are the adornment of the world. Number 3, that which endures, that means righteous deeds, they're better in reward and better in expectations. And finally, number 4, absolutely everything is recorded. Nothing is left out. Let us pray to Allah to make us of those who are Ahlul Qur'an and make us of those who learn from the parables that he mentions in his book. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ